Accession number 20620, Reel 4.
But prisoners were, in my opinion, what I seen of them, were glad they were taken prisoners. The war was over for them, in other words.
William Titchard, end of Reel 3. William Titchard, Reel 4. So when you were in Normandy, I mean, you had a padre with the company you were with.
Yeah.
Yeah. What were the padres like?
It was very nice. As a matter of fact, I think that padre's still living. Mm-hmm. And I can't just put my mind to his name. Mm-hmm. I can't for the love of me. Yeah. I know he's still living because Bill, my mate in Shrewsbury, who died, like as I told you, he told me he was still alive and he wrote one or two letters to him.
Oh, yeah. Did you have regular services?
Yes, yes. All manned abroad. Well, more at home than abroad, really. Different religion, like, you know. If you do, more or less, if you didn't go church prayer, you'd find something else to do. So, you had to make up your mind whether you'd go to church or do fatigue, so. But I think most of them used to go to church, you know.
How long did the services last?
About an hour. Mm-hmm. About an hour, yeah.
Did the padre talk about the war or what you were doing?
Well, he talked about religion most like, you know, more than anything, I think, myself, trying to more or less put your mind at rest, you know, with the different things that was going on and more or less not to worry, like, you know, carry on, you know, the good Lord looking after you and all that, you know. Just things like that, you know.
Did you see him when you were in the line?
Pardon?
Did you see him when you were in the line? Did he
go No, back? I don't ever recall seeing him in the line. Never, no. Mm. No.
Right, okay. Had you been told a lot about the history of your regiment?
No, only what I read. It's all originated, I believe, from Ireland.
That's right, yeah.
And made up from territorials to present day, you know, soldiers, like, you know. And then they moved, that's when they was more or less getting together. And then they moved to, if I'm not mistaken, I think they moved to Newport.
That's it, yeah.
And I'm not sure whether I was in Newport or not. I can't just think at the moment.
Okay.
I think we must have done, because I think we had a big photograph taken in Newport. It's either that one that's on the wall now in the hall or one I've got in my case.
Was that when you were in the regiment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So, when you were in Normandy, I mean, did you manage to write letters home, and did you get letters from home?
Not a great lot, because I wrote now and again, perhaps to my mother, that was all, because at the time I didn't know Bet at that time. My brother was more or less too young, and my sister, so it was more or less, no, not really, I can't say.
How strict were they in Normandy on your appearance and turnout and things? Did you still have inspections?
I would say, even under the conditions, he fully expected you to keep, you know, within, as regards personal hygiene, to wash yourself down as much as possible, you know, and keep yourself clean, teeth and one thing and another. Hygiene, yeah, there was on that. If it must say they seen any deterioration, I think they'd told you. But you see, you got that mucky and sweaty that it was a natural thing, if you could, if it was possible, to wash yourselves down. Because now and again, they used to fetch it out of the line now and again for what they call a dusting down, That was throwing all your clothes away, dusting you down, and new clothes.
So, we're talking still about the first few weeks you were
there. Yeah.
Did you get any time off then?
No, I think it was quite a while. I'm not sure, it's 2 months, I think, before we got any time off. I'm almost certain this is where I'm bugged on times and dates and that, but I think myself, 2 years, 2 months, I think, we went a long while, I know. Then I think that was when we reached Brussels. Yeah, I think it was when we reached Brussels.
Okay.
And we just took Brussels, and it was giving us 4 days off, I think, back in the line to get spruced up, do the wagons up and all that, you know. Even though you got time off like that, you still had to do all your equipment and everything. And we went back to this, just outside Brussels it was, and we was sleeping in a barn, about four of us, you know, on the straw, with a ground sheet on the straw and a blanket over, and that was it, get your head down, because you were that tired, just went off. And anyhow, I was supposed to have these 4 days off, as I recollect it, mind you. I think it was the second day we went to Brussels, give us a pass to go into Brussels and, you know, have a couple of drinks if we wanted them, like. So me and my mate and one or two more went into Brussels and went into this cafe, and of course a lot of the chaps thought then tomorrow I might be gone, so they had a good time, had a good drink and got drunk. Anyhow, we got back to the holding place where we were. I got my head down, fast asleep, and it must have been maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, at past two in the morning, and the sergeant major come round shouting and bawling, "Get up, we're off. See, this is it." See? Of course, I was like that. Still, I was only young, you know, and I hardly drunk, and I was drunk. And then I said to the sergeant, I said, "Oh, sod off, you know, pull a blanket over my head." I said, "Sod off." I said, "I'm not getting up yet." So I said, "Come on, get out of there." No, I said, "No, I wouldn't get up. This is first time I've done anything like this, you know, gone against any orders or anything," because I was, as I say, I was drunk. And anyway, he pulled a blanket from over me. And he said, "Titchard," he said, "if we weren't on the move," he said, "I'd have you out of there and shot. Now get up." And it sobered me up. What had happened? I'm not sure if the Yanks took over from us. And they lost it, didn't they? They lost Brussels and we had to go and back, get it back again. And that was our 4 days gone. And that was the only trouble I really got into. Won't do it again.
So after you landed in France, can you remember any of the places you went through or any particular incidents before you got to Brussels?
You see, what I've got to try and think of is Brussels before Antwerp, or is Antwerp before Brussels? You've got to try and put them in perspective. The one place we did billet in was Antwerp. They put us on the docks there with the guns, because Jerry wanted Antwerp docks at all costs. And of course we set up gun positions there. And as a matter of fact, when we weren't on duty, we was billeted in civilian houses just up the road. I can just picture the road now. And there was me, my mate in Worcester, and the lad that died I was telling you about, and somebody else, four of us in this house billeted. And I was a bit slow. The other three grabbed the best spots. And all that was left, I can picture it now, was this like a big baby's cradle. Must have been 5 foot long or something like that. And I got in that. And I always got my leg pulled over that. Little baby sleeping in the cradle, you know. Got my leg pulled terrible. And anyhow, was there a few days and we managed to hold it. And all the time they was firing the guns, the kids was round the guns, weren't they? And as soon as the cartridge flew out of the breech, even though they was up, picking up and running off with them, picking them up running off with them for souvenirs, because they made a lovely souvenir when it was polished up, because it was solid brass, and they made lovely souvenirs. And the kids, as soon as one dropped on the floor, still smoking, picking them up, running off with them, you know, dead funny to watch him. And all the people stood round while we was using the guns, they stood round. You know, it was marvellous. And
so you saw a lot of civilians then?
Oh, yeah. In Antwerp, yeah, mostly in Antwerp, I think. Then there was another place we went through. Was, I'm mixed up with in different places. Now, we went through Armentières. Now, I don't really know that place in France, Armentières. That's where the song come from, Mademoiselle from Armentières. And we went through there, and I'm not kidding you, it was absolutely fabulous. The streets was crowded. We had a job to get through. We had a job to get through with the guns and the trucks and everything. And the back of our Toc H truck, the back of it, was completely full of fruit and bottles of wine, what they threw in the back, you know. Of course, we didn't understand any French or anything. Oh, yeah, and apples, oranges, all sorts going in the back, and bottles of wine, you know. And they were all over us, all over the trucks, and, you know, I don't know how we got through there, but it was a thing to remember. I always remember that place more than anything. It was brilliant. All the French people, you know, all over you.
So that had just been liberated, had it?
Yeah. Well, it's been liberated maybe a day before we got there. Natural, because the infantry takes them places, and we follow up. And we still got that reception, you know. You'd have to see it to believe it. It's memories I'll have in my head for a long while.
Can you remember any other particular places?
Well, then there was another place. It was on a farmyard. It was in a farmyard, like in a gun position we set up in a farmyard, and we had nothing to do, really. We'd done all what we had to do, lay the line and everything for the guns, and we just walking now, nosing more than anything. And anyhow, my mate, he was an old RHA man, and his name was Whitaker. I remember his name as plain as anything. And there was this well, and it must have been about 10 foot deep, with this ladder at the side. And of course Jerry started shelling. So I said, come on, Billy, said, if we're going to get killed, let's get buried down there. So we went down in this well, me and him, and we sat there trying to make a song up of Lily Mullane. I always remember it. And we made these words up to it. And I always told you about them, didn't I, Bet? And I can never always remember them, you know, but we made up this song with verses of this song of Lily Mullane. And it was brilliant. Brilliant. Things like that, you know. These were the good things. These were the good things that happened while he was there. And there's a lot of good things went on, don't get me wrong. Good and bad, but a lot of good things. And that's why, in my opinion, that dying, death, anything like that, it never entered your head. And that, if I swear on my honour, that I mean every word of that, I never, ever thought of anything like that. How, I don't know, it was brilliant, how you didn't think about, how the other lads felt, I suppose. And what I could see, they felt more or less the same. Were you? The only other thing, if you don't want it, dessert. And if you dessert, you get shot. So full stop. Get on with it. And that's what we did.
Did you go through the Falaise Gap?
Yes, that was, that was flattened. Well, Cannes was an that was flattened. Was it the Falaise Gap or was it Cannes? I'm not sure, it is Cannes. And I think they're pulling us out for a couple of days rest then, because we had worked hard, really hard. Anyhow, the driver's got orders to go to this place just through Cannes. It was either Cannes or Falaise, I'm not sure. Cannes, I think, through the main street, what was left of the main street. On either side, it was just ruins, right down to the ground. And he said, they showed the driver, or told him where to go to this place to have all the truck washed down. He said, now you must take somebody with you. So this lad, he's only a young lad, same as myself. He said, Bill, he said, how do you fancy coming with me? I said, I'll go with you. I said, you know, just see what things are when we get round there. Anyhow, we took off and we were going into the main street. And he said to me, he said, hey, Bill, he said, have you ever been a driver? I said, no. I said, I wanted to be a driver. He said, but finished up being a signalman. He said, oh, dear. He said, do you want to have a go? He said, while we're going for this washing this, what's the name down, the truck. I said, will it be all right? Yeah, nobody will know. Of course, I gets in the truck, don't I? Goes along, shows me what to do, like. And I'm going through. Well, you come to the end of the road and you're there. Can see it now. You turn slightly right, then left and over this bridge. See? So I'm just going along merrily. And the driver said, now change down here, Bill. We're coming to the bridge. Of course, I looked down to change. What's the name? Change gears, didn't I? Thump. Stop the car. Stop the truck. And the driver said, what have I done? I don't know. I said, let's go out and have a look. And there was this froggy on the floor on his bike. None turned him, like, you know, but the bike wheel was buckled. We heard, you should have heard him. We didn't understand a word he was saying, but he wasn't half going on. Anyway, this officer came over. First officer I'd seen for ages. And he said, what's going on here? What's happened? So the driver took over. He took the blame. He told him what had happened. He said, well, get it sorted. And off he took. So we spoke to the froggy in the best language we could, you know. And we said, we'll have a look at these old buildings. And if we can find an old bike wheel to fit your bike, we'll do it up for you. Oh, good, good. Anyhow, we managed to find one, did the bike up. What did he do? You come to my house, and he took us to the house to his wife and that, drink and whatever, anything. He was all over us. After knocking him off his bike, he was all over us. He was brilliant, and so I say them into good things, you know. And anyhow, we got that job done in 2 days. Then we was off on the move again. Went through the Falaise Gap. That was a terrible place, the Falaise Gap.
What did you see there?
Nothing else but devastation, dead bodies, stench. You had to smell it to believe it, as I say. You know, little babies in houses just burnt, you know. This is what you had to face. That's why, you know, you got to harden to it at finish, you know. And
What did you think of what the Allies had done there?
Pardon?
What did you think of what the Allies had done there? Because it was Allied planes that had done that, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, you know, I suppose it's a thing that had to be done to get them out. Otherwise, it was either don't bomb it and get more killed up the front like your First World War, throw them in, get mowed down, you know, take a chance what happened. But see, now the Air Force was a softener, wasn't it? So it was either killed or be killed. And they, I think the Ive people knew this, that we had to bomb to get on with the job. And as I say, mind, a lot of artillery work did a lot of damage and all, you know. Of course, I think a lot of people, they was noted for having deep down cellars in France and Belgium and places, because if you ever went down them, you always find them loaded with wine. They always had wine in the cellars. And I think that's where most of the families, when they and like that, down below. And I think that's why a lot of them survived it, you know. But I suppose when they came out and looked around, God, what, you know, all the building, my home's gone and everything, you know. And nothing you could do about it. So just had to get on with it.
Did you see much of the Americans? Did you have any contact with them?
No, I see more Canadians than anything.
What were they like?
They were good fellas, they were. And of course, they, like the Yanks, they looked after themselves, you know, as the guards, billeting and one thing. We even seen them, although it wasn't much. Seen them, you know, they build these log cabins. Seen them do that. Yeah, build it, no, not the trees down, log cabin and sleep in them places. Not like it was get down on the floor or in a big hole. See, that was the idea of a slit trench. If you got caught, you was already buried, and that was it, full stop. That was the idea of them.
Where did you see the Canadians?
I couldn't tell you offhand. I couldn't really tell you offhand where we saw them. Because I think the loaners out at the time to the Canadians, so many guns, like, you know, like a troop or something like that, to back the Canadians up. Then we used to come back then to our own regiments. Not much, I think it was only about the ones. The Yanks, no, I didn't see them. I think the only time we saw some Yanks, didn't see many then really, was in the Ardennes.
So you worked your way up through France?
Up through France, up through Belgium.
Brussels, Belgium.
Yeah. Eindhoven, Erken and Bosch. We all through there. And I think it was Erken and Bosch. I keep saying to the wife, I think it was Erken and Bosch where we pulled in. That was a nice place. I don't think it was damaged all that much. And we billeted down, got the guns in place. And then, as usual, when we'd finished, went walking around, we'd come to this massive building. Oh, it was massive. We thought, me and my mate said, what's this place? Don't know, let's go and have a look. Nosing, you know, like you always do. Went in, and there was nothing but eggs in crates. Littered with eggs it was. And I think we were bung for a week eating eggs.
Yeah.
So, going you remember, anything about the other places you went through? You mentioned a lot of names then.
Not really. Of course, as you know, when we got in Holland, the dams were bursted, and that was a terrible time going through Holland. That was when they had the some operation. When I got that medal from Market Garden, it was in that Market Garden operation, or that. Again, told you whether you was fit or not, because you was that.
Tell me what happened and what you were doing.
Well, we was making his way to towards Holland when all the more or less the country was flooded out, and of course, by the time we got there, it was nothing but that deep in mud, and we had a job to get the vehicles out, and they had to send for tanks to tow the guns out and the wagons. And at the same time, we was trying to unload wagons with ammunition on. And if you've never been on an ammunition detail, you won't want to, because, my God, that was hard work, really hard work. When you've got four shells in a box, 25 pounders, and you've got a box of cart, lugging them off. And that was really rough going through there. And even when I got a letter from Holland, they said they remembered that how you people struggled going through Holland, you know, and the rough time you'd had with all the bad weather and one thing and another.
Tell me about Market Garden and you getting a medal there.
Yeah, that was hard. As I say, that was hard with the weather and that. And they found out that it was, I think the Welsh Fusiliers, they took a battering there because lots of opposition. But they finally did get through after a lot of barrages were laid down. And as I say, we got through. And then we got as far as went through to the Ardennes. That was cold there.
That was. Before we get onto there, tell me why you got a medal.
No, it was from the French.
Right.
Give it out for the 50th anniversary.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And they got two French medals and one Dutch medal. And they presented us with them.
Mm-hmm. So you had a really difficult time in Holland. How long was
very,
it there?
Very bad, very bad. It was a struggle to get through there, as I say. We had to get tanks and everything to pull us out, not to get out. And
so
supplies was hard to get up. So I was running out of ammunition. So it was a bit dicey, really.
What time of year was that?
March, April, June, round about October or something like that. October, September, October. I think round about then, that's when that happened. Anyhow, we got through there, and the next place we got to was just on the edge of the Dutch border, a place called Gok. And just before we got to Gok, the officer came round and interviewed all the men, like, you know, signallers and that, and he said, with one or two accidents we've had on the guns, losing three or four gunners, we was wondering if any of you would like to volunteer to go on the guns instead of waiting for our new replacement, because we needed them. Because with the guns, 25 pounders, you've got a six-man crew. When you're in conflict, you can't have six men going all the while. It wouldn't work. So what he had to do was three on, three off. So you had like maybe 2, maybe 3 hours on duty, and maybe 3, maybe 4 hours having a sleep, if you can get a sleep, taking in turns. So they didn't seem as though he was bothering about any volunteers, so I thought, well, I'm going to have a change. So I said, I'll volunteer. He said, are you sure? Yeah. So didn't know first thing about the guns, only to look at, not a clue. Anyway, they put me with a gun crew, and they tried to explain as best they could and as quick as they could the positions and what them positions entailed.
Stop you there. End of reel 4.